Please turn with me to Genesis chapter 50. I'll be reading verses 15 to 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgressions of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of God.
Let us go to God in prayer.
Heavenly Father, as we hear your word, pray, Lord, that your Spirit will enable us, Lord, to hear it clearly. What is your message for us today, Lord? And help us to submit it in our lives by obeying it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A few weeks back, we had a welcome party to welcome all our new friends. And during the introduction, we were asked, what is your hobby? What is it that you like to do? And as I was thinking about it, very sheepishly, I shared my newfound interest, that is watching Korean drama serial. Now, apart from learning about a new culture, I like the plot, I like the suspense, and of course also the humor in each serial. And usually in this drama, there's always the main character, and he will be suffering of some sort. Okay, whether he lost a loved one, there's a broken relationship, or in some kind of trouble. And then this person will meet a hero, and that person will begin to change her life. And as all good dramas conclude, the victim is rescued from her misery, her trouble, injustice. And good will prevail at the end of the day, and it will be happily ever after. I love happy endings, happily ever after. Now, don't we wish that this is true in life also? That as we go through troubles and suffering and misery, that at the end of the day, our lives will be happily ever after. That someone can bring good out of the trouble and the misery of our lives. Now, we've been studying the book of Genesis, and today is the last sermon of Genesis. And we started the book with the account of creation, and we observed the power of God. He spoke, and there was order, and there was life. God is a life-giving God. And when God created the world, he said and repeated, "It is good, it is good." And when he completed creation, he said, "It is very good." God rejoices over the good world that he has created. But very unfortunately, in the next chapter, we see how sin is at work to destroy God's good creation. And we see the fall in Adam and Eve. They disobeyed and rebel. And then we move on to what is the second part of Genesis, where we look at the lives of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And if you look closer in their lives, you realize that they too have made mistakes, big mistakes in life. We know Abraham as a model of faith and obedience, but he also made morally questionable decisions. He put his wife Sarah at risk to save his own skin, not just once, but two times. He allowed her to be taken by another man. Then both Sarah and Abraham made a very bad move. They fathered another child with a slave girl instead of waiting for God to provide. So there is also the dark side of Abraham. Isaac followed his father's footsteps. He also allowed his wife almost to be sold off. Jacob is a cheat. He worked out his life by cheating, and he in turn was cheated by his father-in-law. And we've been studying the life of Joseph, and we see how he has been a victim of his own arrogance. His brothers hated him and sold him off as a slave. Now, all these biblical characters have something in common. They all have some form of brokenness in their lives. Either they have made mistakes or someone have messed up their lives. Now, I believe that among us, we also share with such brokenness. Maybe you too have made mistakes in life. Who doesn't? Maybe you are struggling with the consequence of a bad decision. Perhaps you are a victim of someone else's mistakes. Maybe some of us are carrying a baggage of an unhappy childhood, a broken marriage, hurt by someone, betrayed by someone close to you. And like Joseph, perhaps you have been falsely accused, unfairly overlooked, or mistreated. The year is coming to an end, 2019, very fast, in a few weeks' time. How has the year been for you? Perhaps for some of us, it's not really a good year. You had to manage an unexpected crisis, or the situation at home has been intense. Can God make good out of the mistakes and the brokenness of our life? Now, our passage today and the way that Genesis concludes tells us that God can bring good out of the brokenness of our lives and make us a blessing. That is who God is. And it starts with first understanding that God is with us in our brokenness and in our trial. You can follow the outline in your bulletin. And the second point is that as we understand that God is with us, it is to submit to God's will above ours. And thirdly, to have God's view in our situation. Finally, to trust that he can work out his good in our lives. As we trust that, we can respond in generosity and kindness. And that's something we will look into our story today. Now, the first point, God is with us in the brokenness and trials of life. Now, we have been studying the life of Joseph for the past few weeks. He has been a victim of sibling jealousy. His brothers sold him as a slave when he was just a youth. And after he has reached Egypt, he landed on a very good job, actually, in charge of Potiphar's household. But then his life went downhill again. Someone accused him of something he did not do. He was thought to be an adulterer, thrown into prison. He helped some people in prison, but he was forgotten. And there's a truth that we can draw from Joseph's life. People or situations in life can cause harm to us, but God never leaves us. You know, the narrator keeps repeating this phrase throughout Joseph's life, again and again and again. especially in chapter 39, the common refrain we hear of Joseph's life is this: the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered in Potiphar's household. The Lord was with him, and the Lord gave him success in everything that he did. And when Joseph was in prison, what he said, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. When Joseph had to interpret Pharaoh's dream, what did Joseph say? God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Joseph recognized that through the ups and downs of his life, God has never left him. God is with him. Even when we go to the New Testament, the story of Joseph is remembered in Acts chapter 7 and verse 9. It says this: because the patriarchs, Joseph's 10 other brothers, were jealous of Joseph, they sold him off as a slave. But God was with him. Acts chapter 7, verse 9. Now, what is remembered of Joseph is not so much about his betrayal, his suffering, or his imprisonment, but who was with him during those times. And that is the key theme of Joseph's life. God is with us. God never changes. As much as God is with Joseph, God is with you. God is with me through the ups and downs of life. And that is a central truth the people of God, we need to claim on. No matter what you are going through, God is with you. And that's a great encouragement and a promise to claim. God never leaves his people, whether in prison, whether you have been accused, whether you are prosperous, God is with you. And so when we are down and out, remember, God is with you. And when we understand that God is with us in every circumstances of our life, then this is a God that we can trust. We can trust that when God is with us, he will work out his good purpose in our life. And that is something we see in Joseph's life. He trusted God, and his faith in God was rewarded. At the end of his life, towards the end, God gave Joseph the ability to interpret Pharaoh's dreams, and Pharaoh made Joseph the most important man after him. God can bring good out of the brokenness of our life. And Joseph's account tells us that God is with us despite whatever that we are going through. And he can be trusted. Now, as we trust God in the down of our life, the downs of our life, it's very important that we also submit to God's will, which is above us. And that is something we see in Joseph's response. Now, in the earlier chapter, Joseph had saved his family from starvation because God has put him in a position of authority, of power. And the whole family were reunited. The father met Joseph just before he died. But then the reality of his father's passing has dawned on the brothers. And that's something we heard in our chapters today. And we read of their fear in verse 15. The brothers asked, now what if Joseph hold a grudge against us and pay us back for all the wrongs we did to him? The brothers are worried at this point of time. All right, Jacob, father has left. Now, will Joseph remember all the evil we did to him and take revenge? And so in verse 16, they sent a message from their father, assumedly before he died, to Joseph. And the thrust of the message to Joseph is this: Joseph, you are to forgive the crime and the sin of your brothers. Now, in calling Joseph to forgive, Jacob understood the reality of their cruelty. He knows that the wrong and the hurt has been done to Joseph, but he appeals to his son, "Forgive your brothers." And the brothers also admitted to their crime, and in verse 16, they volunteered to be his slave. Now, if there is anyone who has reasons to be bitter, it will be Joseph. He was nearly murdered by his brothers. They sold him as a slave to a foreign land. And because of all this, he was falsely accused of adultery, spent years in prison. He was harmed intentionally by the very people he's supposed to trust. And Joseph lost much. He lost his home. He lost his family. He lost his reputation. He was humiliated. He lost his freedom. And he had to spend the prime of his life as a prisoner. That is the story of Joseph. But very astonishingly, when Joseph heard that, what was his response? What did he tell his brothers? Look at verse 19. Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid." He did not criticize his brother. He did not say, "How dare you ask for forgiveness? I'm going to kill all of you." He said, "Do not be afraid." And this phrase is a comfort and a reassurance that he has forgiven them. It is like this whole matter is water over the dam, as far as Joseph is concerned. And Joseph added this phrase, "Am I in the place of God?" Now, actually, Joseph was in the place of power, isn't he? He's the second most important man in Egypt. He was in the place to demand justice because great harm has been done to him. But his response is, "Am I in the place of God?" In other words, I am not in the place of God. I cannot pass judgment. I cannot judge my brothers. He recognizes that in this matter, God is above him, even though he has power to act. Joseph may have the power to seek justice, but he submitted to God's will in this matter. You know, there's a contrast here between Joseph's response and Adam and Eve. Now, in Genesis 2, the snake, or the serpent, tantalizes or tempted Eve with this, you know, "Would you like to be like God?" In other words, "Would you like to be like God and be God's place to act and to decide what is best for yourself? You'll be like God if you take that fruit." And Adam and Eve chose to be in the place of God and act according to their will. But Joseph's response shows us what it means to submit to God's will. He may be wrongly accused by people, but he recognizes it is not his right to judge or to take advantage of that situation. Now, what does it mean to recognize God's will above our human desire? If you look into Joseph's story alone, Joseph knows that though the wrong has been done to him, God's will is to forgive his brothers. Don't take advantage of the situation. Hold back your power. Now, last week, Pastor Wen Tong, he shared with us about forgiving those who have wronged us. Is there someone that the Lord has been nudging you to forgive and to reconcile? Now, some of you know that my father has been diagnosed with colon cancer. Thank God he had the operation and he's doing fairly well. There were a number of complications along the whole operation. He had to stay in the hospital for nearly a month. Although he's discharged and during the time in the hospital, there's a lot of caregiving that is required of me and my sister. But growing up, my relationship with my father has not been the best. There's a lot of tension in the family. It's been a very difficult relationship. But submitting to God's will means to take care of his needs. God did not ask me to judge him or to think about the past. He says in his word, honor your father and your mother. And that's not an advice. That's God's command. So in difficult family relationships, are we taking the place of God or are we submitting to his will? When we choose to forgive, that is submitting to God's will above us. God can bring good out of the brokenness in our lives, and we can be very encouraged that he will be with us in our struggles and our trials. And as we trust God to do that, we need to avoid being in God's place. And that means to submit in obedience to his will. The next thing we learn in this passage is having God's view in our situation. Now, why was Joseph able to forgive his brothers? He had God's view over his situation. Look at what he says in verse 20. You intended to harm me, but God intended for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Now, Joseph's reply is an echo of what he has said earlier in Genesis 45, when he told his brothers that God has sent me to preserve you, a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. That's in Genesis 45, verses 7 and 8. Now, from a human perspective, it looks as though evil was planned against Joseph. But as far as God's concern, in God's view, Joseph's life is in his hands. God is in control of the situation. And God was unfolding his plan through Joseph's darkest moment. He was bringing good out of Joseph's suffering. And the suffering and the humiliation that Joseph suffered becomes the means of salvation for his entire family. And God made him a blessing. His family survived the famine, but not just that. Both the just and the unjust, God used Joseph to save an entire nation from the famine, the whole nation of Egypt. And through it all, God made a way for Joseph to be reunited with his brothers and his family. And out of this brings about forgiveness and reconciliation. What do we learn about God in this? You know, where we believe that God is in our situation, when we have God's view in our situation, He can bring good out of every situation that we face. And that includes our failures. You may fail in a certain aspect, in a certain examination, but do you believe that God can bring something good out of it? Now, I remember when I was working towards my ordination, how to be a reverend, we were asked to write a few book reviews, and the person who assessed one of my papers basically threw it back to me. He felt that I was just writing a summary of the book. I didn't quite engage with the thoughts of the author and try to apply it. I was pretty upset, of course, but I must admit that I didn't quite put in the due diligence in that paper. So I reworked the paper and produced something better. Looking back, that failure turned out to be a blessing. When I applied to do my master's in the States, they require all foreign students to do your TOEFL exam. It's a very tedious English exam. And so I wrote in to the admission department, hey, can you spare me from this examination? Because in Singapore, English is the first language. They said no, and then after that they said, okay, why don't you submit a paper that you have written, and we will assess from that. Then guess what paper I submitted? The rework paper, right? Okay, then the reply came, okay, you are excused from doing TOEFL. Blessing in disguise. But God continued to use that failure throughout in my studies. Because when I did all my papers for my master's, I learned from that failure not to be complacent. Put in the spirit of excellence. And I graduated with honors. Looking back, I'm very thankful for the person who failed me. But more importantly, thankful that God brought good out of this failure. He shaped the way I think and prepared me. That small failure actually prepared me for a bigger challenge when I did my master's. And the way I do things in life, not to be complacent, but have a spirit of excellence. Now, when we fail in certain areas, failure doesn't determine us. It cannot sink us simply because of this. You are a child of God, and God can make good out of it. People or circumstances, they don't determine our outcome. God is still in control of that situation. And He can bring good out of failures. And what is important is to have God's view in this matter. And sometimes that will take humility to ask in our failure, God, what is it that you want me to learn out of this? How do I follow your will in this matter? But I'd like to clarify something, is that having God's view over our situation or our failure doesn't mean being passive. It doesn't mean we accept all the harm that people throw at us. If you are abused, or someone bully you at work or in school, there is the proper channel and the proper authorities to go to. But what I'm saying here is that there is great comfort as a child of God to know that our failures don't determine us. We have a God who can bring good out of it. At the start of the sermon, I shared with you the key characters in Genesis, and they all shared a common attribute. They all messed up their lives. They made mistakes. They became a victim of other people's mistakes. But you see another common theme in their lives, and that is God was still with them. Whether it's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, or Joseph. Though they have messed up big time, God never forsake them. He continued to work out his good purpose in their life. For Abraham, God tested him again. And Abraham came to a point where he could stretch his faith and wholeheartedly believe in God as he surrendered Isaac. Jacob, God showed him that he need not fight through cheating. He need not get on his life by cheating. God allowed Jacob, come, wrestle with me instead. And God brought good out of this cheater. Out of him came the 12 tribes of Israel. And Jacob reconciled with his brother. As God chiseled and molded the characters in Genesis, he also shaped them to be his covenant partners. He blessed each one of them, and through them, through their brokenness, eventually God brought about his son. The biblical character shows us that God can bring good out of the brokenness in our life and make us a blessing. Like Abraham, we need to put our faith in God. Like Jacob, to wrestle and struggle with God more than anything else. And when we are down and out, like Joseph, to continue to trust that God will bring good out of this situation. And he will make good out of our mistakes as we trust him, as we wrestle with him, and as we surrender. When we are able to see from God's point of view how he is shaping our lives, then we can also be generous and kind even to those who have hurt us. And that is something we see in Joseph's response. You see, he didn't just assure his brother by his words. He demonstrated through his actions. Look what he said to his brothers in verse 21. He told them again, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. I will provide for you and your children. Joseph became a blessing to those who hurt him. God used him to save their lives, and he promised to provide for them. And when we recognize that God has brought good out in our lives, we can be a blessing even to those who harmed us. Genesis tells us that God created the world and he says it is good. Unfortunately, sin destroys everything. It leads to brokenness. It leads to everything that falls. But as we read on in Genesis, God did not let sin or the human brokenness have its last word. It ends off with this, Joseph telling his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. And that is a very apt conclusion to the book of Genesis. It speaks very powerfully of who God is and what he will do in our lives. He will bring good out of the brokenness in our lives and make us a blessing. Let us pray. Let us be silent before the Lord for a while. I'd like us to look into our lives. Is there an area of brokenness that you are going through today? The hurt that you have felt, or the mistake that you have made, living in a consequence of a bad decision, people of God know this. God is with you. No matter what the situation of your life may be today, the truth is God is with you. And He will make good come out of that brokenness. You continue to trust Him. And as you see the good that God brings out, may you too respond in generosity and in kindness. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for who you are, a God who can bring good out of the brokenness in our lives and make us a blessing. Praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.